More than 15 years after Congress told the military to start buying more commercial products using more commercial buying practices, leaders from across the military are still struggling, and in many cases succeeding, to meet military needs with items industry already makes. Particularly in the field of technology, each of the military services wants to take advantage of rapid innovation in the commercial world. But sometimes, even when a product starts out its life as a commercial item, by the time it's been tinkered with to meet the Defense Department's specifications, it can bear little resemblance to its commercial roots and start looking a lot more like a traditional military-specified item.
It's looking like these solutions are having to migrate towards a more familiar DoD format before all said and done.
That's Kevin Kelly, the Chief Operating Officer for LGS Innovations, the federal subsidiary of telecommunications giant Alcatel-Lucent. He speaks from experience. His company spent about $30 million to participate in the Army's network integration evaluation, where companies get to show off their technology in real-world environments to see if it meets current gaps in military capability. In this case, a commercial 4G cellular base station, or at least it started out that way.
When you look at what it's going to take in order to deploy this in large form, this is a very specialized solution that has to withstand shock and vibe, temperature, environmental specs that frankly don't exist in the commercial telecom environment. And while we've created that solution that's going to meet all of the Defense Department's needs, it's done so at a cost. And we found a way to take advantage of the commercial development in the best way possible, but at the same time, it's a very non-commercial device when all is said and done. It's really not sellable to the service providers of the world. It's really targeted towards the U.S. defense market.
The Army says, and many members of industry agree, that the NIE approach to testing and acquiring new capabilities, including ones from the commercial marketplace, is a complete game changer compared to how DoD has traditionally bought new systems in long programs of record. Colonel John Morrison is director of the Army's Land War Net Battle Command Directorate.
We're going to look for the latest and greatest network capabilities so that we can start closing that gap that we have with industry. And that's absolutely imperative to our modernization strategy as we move this forward.
The Army says the first couple of NIEs have already saved it enough money to pay for the next several years of such exercises. Much of the savings, the service says, have come from canceling larger, more traditional programs of record and replacing them with commercial products. Kelly says that's the right thought and the right frame of mind for keeping up with the commercial technology development cycle.
What you don't see yet is an acquisition process and cycle that will match. So, like I said before, if you're interested in buying these commercially available technologies, you have to recognize that many of them are on a 6 to 8 month life cycle.
Kelly says in order for the process to meet the Army's vision, the service is going to have to develop standards and testing mechanisms that are flexible enough to accommodate commercial technologies without piling on expensive, time-consuming modifications.
Such that you're not constantly going through a recertification or a reclassification of these devices every 6 to 8 months, because that will in the end frustrate the commercial manufacturers, and they'll lose interest in this environment if it appears that they're in an endless do loop of recertifying their solutions.
Kelly says he's optimistic the process will get easier for commercial vendors as time goes on, and he's a long way from being frustrated by the process, but he's still waiting to find out if or how the Army will buy the system his company tested. The Army says a key to agile acquisition is going to be establishing clear, open, industry-led standards for the network capabilities it will buy in the future. The service is doing that through the development of what it calls its integrated network baseline and common operating environment. Again, Colonel John Morrison.
It's going to take us some time to work our way down that path because, again, we had a lot of stovepiped development going on. What we're looking for now is integrated development so that we can give our commanders and our soldiers the capability that they need.
In 1994, Secretary of Defense William Perry ordered DoD to start using industry-led standards and transition away from the mil-spec standards that had prevailed up until then. And today, standards are a major topic of conversation across the military services, particularly in the information technology field. As Terry Halverson, the Navy Department's Chief Information Officer, told an AFSEA industry audience earlier this month,
simple rule that we've now established, customization bad, standard good. It's almost that simple. Customization costs us lots of money. We've got to stop making everything so special with our IT. We've got to get out of that practice.
The Navy says it did get out of that practice for its Consolidated Afloat Networks and Enterprise Services program. CANES, as it's known, is designed to create a standardized IT architecture for ships across the fleet. Rather than designing a new military-specific system, the Navy decided on a common, completely open architecture that leans heavily on off-the-shelf hardware and commercial standards. Because of that, Captain DJ Legoff, the CANES program manager, says they let more vendors compete and beat initial cost estimates for the system by 44%.
What we did is we took our five basic networks that we have at sea, and instead of, as in the past, having them grow at different rates, different funding streams, different requirements, so we smashed them all together. We says we're going to meet all of their requirements with a common architecture. This way we can continue to keep pace with industry, and we're going to have the same infrastructure on the ship regardless of the enclave that you use it. Really kind of makes a lot of sense. Why we didn't do it that way to start with is a bunch of hindsight, right?
And there are some firms selling to the government that just couldn't exist without industry-led standards. Sean Vera, the CEO of a Silicon Valley startup called Motion DSP, says his company is one of those. His firm makes high-performance software that analyzes and improves vast quantities of full-motion video, like the kind that comes back from unmanned aerial vehicles used by DOD and the intelligence community. His company purposely designed its software so it can run on off-the-shelf computer gaming hardware that's available at a local Best Buy. And the reason his small company's product can work with pretty much any video system the military uses is that the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency got together with industry and developed a common set of standards for full-motion video.
Whether you think about COTS, open standards, or GOTS, what the government needs is they need to be able to buy and source technology from a variety of vendors and be able to get those capabilities to interoperate together in a practical way. They want to avoid the kind of the traditional siloed solution that they were getting traditionally from the defense primes. I have a SOCOM customer who have literally told me that they have seen people die because systems could not talk to each other.
Vera says the open standards allow companies like his, who've written standards-compliant software, integrate their products with existing DoD systems in about half an hour. He says that keeps the government from getting locked into proprietary solutions and injects competition, and he says he's happy to compete.
I think the benefits of COTS and open standards is it lets companies focus on their strengths. In our case, we are experts in image processing. I don't particularly want to build a full-motion video system. I don't want to build video encoders. I don't want to build transport mechanisms. I don't want to buy satellites to move video around. I want to focus on the very best image processing. And if that means I've got to go head-to-head with a competitor, fine, game on.
Despite some successes, the Pentagon has a long way to go on the path toward buying commercial, according to Dr. Jack Gansler, who served as DOD's Undersecretary of Acquisition from 1997 to 2001. He led a Defense Science Board study that identified barriers to successful commercial buying in 2009, and he says not a lot has changed since then.
I really don't see as much progress as I would like to see. Maybe it's because I think there's such an opportunity here and such a need relative to the budget that didn't exist a few years ago when we were living in a period of budget explosion.
And Gansler says DOD's recent proposal to crack down on the definition of commercial products and when streamlined commercial acquisition practices can be used appears to be a step in the wrong direction.
Now you get to the difficulty of trying to distinguish between a product that's commercial and a product that's for the military. If it fits, use it. And the fact that we use some of those specialized practices in order to be able to get commercial stuff is almost a shame that we have to go around the system in order to be able to get the best stuff.
DOD's request to change the definition of commercial items was rejected by House lawmakers when they passed their version of the Defense Authorization Bill last week. It could still emerge in the Senate's version of the legislation. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.